In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. I'm so very happy. I'm so very happy to be back with you. Yes, it was fun being in England. Yes, it was fun being with all my nieces and nephews, all 21 of them. Little rascals, all of them. One of them, his name is Louis, and he's quite a determined four-year-old. And he was over at my sister's house with his cousins. And he was playing with a toy. And his little three-year-old cousin, Amelie, went to snatch the toy away from him. And Louis held on to it firmly. His mother said, "Louis, let Amelie play with that toy." And Louis said, "No." At that point, Amelie started to cry. And so Janet, his mother, said, "Janet," Louis' mother said, "Louis, now say sorry to Amelie." Louis said, "No." Then Janet said again, "Louis, say sorry to your cousin Amelie." "No." Then Janet said, "Louis, why aren't you going to say sorry to your cousin Amelie?" "Because I'm not sorry," he said. Children tend to say things that we just think. So back to our gospel. I couldn't help looking at the gospel, and I mentioned it to Julie, and I said, "Oh no, you had Trinity Sunday, I've got the pigs." But it's not really about the pigs, is it? I think I could sum it up and say that it's really about Jesus saying, "What is your name? What is your name?" But as I said, the story is so terrific and it has so many wonderful things. I couldn't help thinking what the news headlines would be in the New York Times or the Washington Post or maybe one of those less noble newspapers around here. And I thought, I could just see it. Crazy man in cemetery to court again, naked. Or maybe preacher causing trouble in Gerasene. Or maybe pig farmer sues preacher. Or maybe preacher run out of town. All of those would make great headlines, don't you think? So a little bit of background. It's always helpful, and I think that Fred talked to you earlier about paying attention to what's in this bulletin. This bulletin is a treasure of information. First of all, it has the order of service. Then it has the word written from the Bible. And then it has music. Really, really important to note that the scripture that's been chosen for you today, the Psalm, the Old Testament, New Testament, the Gospel, are carefully, carefully chosen. It's not a mistake. It's not somebody saying, "Oh, well, we'll have this bit of scripture and that bit of scripture and that bit of scripture." No. They all go together. And if you look carefully, you can see the thread. And if you listen carefully, you can see the thread. Which is the same for the hymns. Fred does not choose his favorite hymns. At least I don't think he does. He carefully chooses the hymns to go with the scripture. You notice that the hymn that we just sang had to do with the scripture, the epistle that was just read from Galatians. And the hymn that's going to be sung after my sermon is going to have something, I hope, that my sermon has something to do with the hymn. And not necessarily the other way around. It's important to see that thread. And so I want to point out what we're hearing in the gospel today and to sort of tease out a bit of the thread that you might be missing or you might not get. First of all, why do you suppose it was important for Luke to tell us where Jesus was? Why do you suppose that was important? Well, it was important because Jesus was in an area that normally Jewish people would not go to. It was on the opposite side of the Lake of Galilee. You could interpret that as saying it was the opposition. The people where Jesus was at that particular time, on that particular day, was not a territory or an area that any Jewish person would go to. Now, we all know that Jesus did a really good job at talking to people he shouldn't talk to, and going to places he shouldn't go to, being with people he shouldn't eat with. We all know Jesus did that. And this is another case of it. Where Jesus was in a cemetery. Cemeteries for Jewish people is considered unclean territory. You don't go there. Talking to people who are not Jews. You don't talk to those people. And talking about demons. You don't talk about demons. And here is Jesus with this man who has been shunned, who's been isolated, who because of these demons inside his body has not been able to be part of normal society. And what does Jesus do? He asks, "What is your name?" You and I know very well that Jesus knows exactly what his name is. But just as I was talking to the children today, that first question, that question that you ask of people, "What's your name?" It's the start of relationship. It's the start of understanding the other. What's your name? What is your name? Very important. Have you noticed when you go into a supermarket that just about everybody has a name on their shirt? How many times have you addressed that cashier or that person in the supermarket by name? How many times do you see that person in the supermarket or at the gas station or in a hotel or in a restaurant, and you've addressed them by name? Or have you? Or are they nameless people to you? This crazy man in the graveyard could easily have been nameless, and probably was nameless to everybody. The headlines would have declared, "Crazy man." They wouldn't have used his name. But Jesus wanted to know what his name was. Jesus wants us to tell him what our name is. Jesus wants to be in relationship with him. So Jesus asks, "What is your name?" Then you notice that the man screams at Jesus, yells at him, "Leave me alone! Don't torment me! Get away!" Who is really speaking? Is it the man who's really speaking? Or is it the demons? And I'd like to suggest it's not the man, but the demons. I'd like to suggest that when you see people who are mentally sick, it is the mental illness that's speaking, and not the person. And yet, we shun such people. Jesus listens carefully and does not scold the man. Jesus knows who's speaking. And the demons know that. They're not stupid. The demons know that, and they say to Jesus, "Please, please, don't send us into that black hole." Why? Because the demons like to work. They like to cause their trouble. They like to make people anxious and afraid and worried. And so the demons are begging Jesus not to send them into that black hole where there's nothing for them to do. Jesus listens to the demons. Isn't that amazing? That Jesus would listen to demons? But he does. And he sends them into a herd of pigs who then jump into the lake and drown. And then the people are afraid. I suspect the pig farmers are furious, but the rest of the people are afraid. And what do they want to do? They want to throw Jesus out. And what does Jesus do? He gets back into the boat. He has work to do. He has other work to do. And just as his disciples were taught to leave a house where they weren't welcome and dust off shake the dust off their shoes and go on to the next person, this is what Jesus does. But then what happens? Just before he gets on the boat, the man who's been healed said, I want to come with you. I want to come with you. And Jesus said, no. Now, how many times have you heard in Scripture Jesus says, follow me? But in this instance, he doesn't say that. He says, no, go home and tell your family what happened. Tell them about me. In other words, witness. So in this gospel, we're told to ask who you are. Ask people their names. And then witness. And we're told also that Jesus went into places that normally nobody would go. This is the scary part of this message in the gospel. Think about it. Where do you think Jesus would go if he just got off the train from Milford at the train station just over there? Do you suppose he would come to St. Peter's? Or do you suppose he would go to the shelter? Or do you suppose he would go to downtown New Haven among the homeless? Where do you suppose Jesus would go? I think I know. And what's the message for us? The message for us is to go to places that we think are a bit uncomfortable. We're a bunch of New Englanders, and you get to be New Englanders because of England. That's the truth. And English people are naturally reserved, and they naturally don't go up to people and ask them what their names are. And they don't go to places they don't want to go to because they're afraid. But you're not English. Thank God. You're Americans. And Americans do go to places that they're a bit nervous about. And people do talk to each other. You're not so shy and introverted as the British people can be. And I'm glad of it. So what's the message today? Even if it's a really small thing, do something that's a little bit difficult for you to do, like addressing somebody by name that you don't know, or telling a story about something that happened to you that was really special and that you could give grace the thanks and the glory for that thing happening to you. In other words, be a witness. Don't wait for Jesus to come to you. Like the man with demons, go to Jesus. And maybe you're going to Jesus is one of those occasions where you're yelling at him. Why did this happen to me? Why do I have the demons that I have? Why do I have the sickness that I have? Why do I have the financial troubles that I have? Those are all demons that we all have. I have demons. One of my worst demons is the sin of gluttony. She's a very bad demon. She's always tempting me. I call her Cookie. I also have the demon sometimes of self-righteousness and judging. I call that demon Judge Judy. I sometimes have the demon of pride. I call that demon the Wicked Witch. Mirror, mirror on the wall. We all have demons. But in this story, what happens to the demons? Jesus gets rid of them. Jesus gets rid of the demons. When we have demons, first of all, we have to name them. And second of all, we have to ask Jesus to take our demons away. And Jesus does. And Jesus sacrificed himself for those demons and died. Don't ever forget it. Amen.